that 5-minute email had such a profound effect on my life because I had been working so hard on the product I was selling. Like, it's been crazy. It was a career changer. And because I had focused so much on that, I could just send a 5-minute email that triples my following, like doubles my income. It changed my life.
Welcome to the Gaming Careers Podcast, a show about the tools, techniques, and the people in the live streaming industry. I'm your host, Pete Wilkins, and on today's show, we're going to be talking to a streamer who has built themselves an audience on various different platforms that come to watch him stream a creative process. We talk about what makes a stream watchable, which streaming platform pays the most, and how 1 5-minute email can change your life. Without further ado, let's meet Eric, better known as Boom Kitty. Eric, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do on stream.
My name's Eric, but I go by Boom Kitty. That's my alias for producing electronic music, which is my main career. A lot of your listeners might have heard of me because my music's in multiple rhythm games, the two biggest ones being Geometry Dash and Beat Saber. If you've played those games, you've probably seen my name pop up. I've been producing for about 15 years now, since I was 12, and I'm 27 now. But I only took it seriously since about 7 years ago. And during that time, I started streaming, I'd say about 3 years ago, on Twitch. The reason I started streaming was just because it was fun. It was fun and it helped me focus on music. So when I'd be working on music, if I would stream, then I could see people like this thing I'm doing. Oh no, I can talk about what I'm doing and people react. Even if there's just 3 or 4 people there, if they like what I'm doing, it kept me motivated. So having a stream schedule, having at least just a few people watch me stream kept me motivated on music. And only recently have I really been like, I actually want to like take the streaming aspect of it somewhat seriously. I'd say it's still secondary to like releasing music and making music, but it's definitely like a big part of my business and my career path is the streaming aspect now.
So when you're actually live, what is it that the audience is looking at? Are you going through the process of making a new song or are you talking about songs that you've already made?
When I stream whatever songs I am working on at that time, usually. To be clear, I use this software, FL Studio. That's what I produce in. And I stream that software. So people see the software where I'm making the music. They hear what I'm working on. And it's almost always some unfinished project. It's very rarely like I'm showing off some old thing or anything like that. It's 99% of the time a song I'm trying to make right now. It's halfway done. I'm working on it. I take feedback from the viewers.
Does it ever get distracting having to stream something that is so creative? Because obviously the majority of people that I speak to are gaming streamers. So they are having to concentrate on playing the game to the best of their ability whilst being entertaining and keeping an eye on chat and answering questions and things like that. But you're actually trying to physically be creative and make something that you're super proud of in your music whilst also having to try and balance an entertaining live stream.
Yeah, so it's funny because it's really both. Sometimes it's very distracting, but other times it actually helps me. In general, I would say when I am working on music and I'm looking at the chat and I am kind of going back and forth, so it's like I'm using two modes in my mind where I'm trying to chat and have fun and entertain everyone, and I'm also trying to actually focus on the music. At the same time, though, there's a balance with it because even though it is distracting, there's a lot of benefits too. So for when I find when I stream, I can work for a lot longer. So as I said, like if I'm working 1 hour not streaming, it's often like very draining because I'm very focused and I kind of have to take maybe a 30-minute break and maybe do another hour after a 30-minute break. But when I stream, I can kind of just keep going because the social aspect and interacting with people kind of gives my brain a constant break from the music. It is distracting from a very like short time span, but from a long time span, I'd say it actually benefits me. And one of the other big benefits is the feedback I get from the people watching, because when I'm on my own, I am making music and I'm making creative decisions, but it's all me. And even though I do think I have good ideas, I'm not perfect by any means. So when I see just people react, they say, oh, that sounds really cool. Then I might put more emphasis on that thing, that little bass I just added, because they're really digging it. Or they might be like, that sounds kind of weird. And even though it might be something I like, if the chat is very much like, oh, I'm not sure about that, then I know, I'm hitting a blind spot.
I can imagine that's one of the more difficult things about streaming in a creative category, is getting that feedback from people about things that they do and don't like, since it's so personal preference based. What is it like streaming in the niche music category?
So a weird thing about music streaming, it's not something a lot of people can relate to, because like almost everybody plays video games. People who watch video games They probably play those games too. Whereas me making music, I do have a lot of other producers who also make music watching my streams. But there's a lot of people who just know me from, say, Beat Saber or Geometry Dash, who want to hear me talk about stuff or want to be entertained somehow. And sometimes the process isn't actually that entertaining. Often what happens with me is that when I'm talking a lot, I'll have more viewers. And once I'm actually focused and working, even if I'm still talking, if I'm focused on the process of making the music, my viewer count will drop because the people who stay are the people interested in watch me engage in the process of making music, which is a much smaller audience than the people who just are like, oh, Boom Kitty, I like your music. I just want to talk about music and ask you questions and hang out.
So how do you deal with that balance between trying to retain a higher viewership versus creating the content that you want to create? Because it must be tempting just to keep producing the content that is going to bring the most viewers versus ultimately pushing in the direction that you want to with your music.
Yeah, so that's a constant struggle, honestly, because I do care about viewer count because for multiple reasons. One, I want to have viewers just because I want my chat to be active and it's fun to have active viewers, but also I'm trying to run a business. So more viewers equals more income in the long run. But it's true, mentally, it really messes with me. And it's something I actually struggled with recently on a stream because I was checking the stream number, it was way too much. It was completely distracting me. It's a balance. I think it's definitely a problem to become obsessed with viewer count because then you start overanalyzing stuff like, oh, I just dropped by 10 viewers. Did I say something bad? I don't know. And you start overthinking things. And like you said, pandering, like I'm like, oh, why don't I focus less on the music and focus on engaging with people, which, you know, sometimes is a good thing. Sometimes that's needed. But I also, ultimately, my goal is to stream while simultaneously creating the music that also advances my career. And I also love to make. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll intentionally hide the viewer count so that I can't see it. And then just do the whole stream without looking at the viewer count. That way I mentally don't think about it and don't get caught up in it. And that can be very helpful. Other times, it's all about just kind of the mood you're in. Because sometimes I can look at the viewer count, look at the ups and downs, and it doesn't affect me mentally. Because I mentally am like, however many people are watching, I'm going to do what I think is fun and what I want to do. And if they like it, then that's great. If they don't, then that's great too. Because that mindset is ultimately something very attractive to people. So when you're in the mindset of not worrying about viewer count, I think that's very helpful for your viewer count, ironically enough.
Yeah, it's funny how that works, isn't it? So I think a lot of the Gaming Careers audience will be interested to hear about your choice of platforms. Could you explain a little bit about why it is that you have chosen to stream on YouTube?
Before that, I was regularly streaming on Twitch. But even when I was streaming on Twitch, I would do a stream on YouTube, say once a month, because I just had a much bigger following on YouTube. So I would do the once a month streams on YouTube. But my goal was I want Twitch to be about streaming so that people who want to see me stream are on Twitch and YouTube to just be where I post my music. So I didn't want to like clog my subscribers' feeds on YouTube with my streaming. But now I've decided that I want to do full YouTube streaming. So I started doing that about 2 months ago and it's been going insanely well. When I was on Twitch, I knew about like five other producers who would stream on Twitch and there was a little bit of a community. On YouTube, I haven't really looked very hard to find that community yet. I'm planning to, but I think Twitch is more popular for creators from what I just hear from people. Because sometimes on Discord, I'll meet other producers. And, you know, a lot of producers like to stream. And 90% of the time, they're streaming on Twitch when I ask them. So I don't think YouTube has taken off as a creative place yet for streaming. I'm sure there are a good amount of streamers here. But Twitch is big with creative types like art and DJing and music and even like playing instruments and stuff. And I don't see that much on YouTube.
So would you say that the decision to stream on YouTube was mainly due to the fact that you were already building up an audience of people that were subscribing for the finished tracks that you were uploading to YouTube?
So there was a lot of factors to the decision. That's definitely the primary one. To expand on that, as you said, I was gaining a big YouTube following just from posting music, but then also from a lot of people from Geometry Dash community and Beat Saber community, because they had heard my music. They were finding me on YouTube. I was only posting music, but I was gaining a lot of subscribers, like more than I would expect from how, because I would post, say, you know, I release four to six songs a year. So that means I'm putting 4 to 6 videos up a year on YouTube. And even just that, I was getting a much bigger following. So what actually happened is that I ended up getting a lot more popular on Spotify and other stuff. So it got to the point where I'm like, well, if I'm big on Spotify, I don't need to worry so much about YouTube being just for music because I have all these other places, like, you know, Apple Music and Deezer or whatever other streaming things people use. if all my music is there, I was like, I can take advantage of these subscribers, not take advantage, but, you know, capitalize on this, because ultimately what I can do is stream on YouTube, and the people who don't want to see me stream on YouTube, they can unsubscribe easily. And I decided I was cool with that, because I was avoiding that because I don't want people to unsubscribe because they don't care about streams. But now I'm like, if I lose half my subscribers, I'd be cool with that, as long as the other half want to see me stream and enjoy watching my streams. Now there's so many other places where people can hear my music. The YouTube thing just doesn't matter as much as far as maintaining a very specific dynamic of only releasing music on there. But there's a few other factors to the decision too. One is very straightforward. I don't like having a lot of links I have to share with people when they want to follow me. It's like, oh, Boom Kitty, that's the guy who's on Twitch, YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, Instagram, Twitter, like all these places to follow me. Like having one less thing for people to follow me on is just better to me, because I don't want to spread out my fan base. And it was very obvious that that's what was happening, because on Twitch, I would get so many less viewers compared to the amount I get on YouTube now. Having to like move people from YouTube to Twitch was too much. And I have all the social media I have. One less thing is just easier. The other factor in it was YouTube just takes a smaller cut of subscriptions. Or on YouTube, it's called memberships. On Twitch, it's subscribers. You know, Twitch takes 50% of subscriber revenue, while YouTube only takes 30%. So on a $5 a month subscription, I'll make $350 a month versus $250 a month, thereabouts. The other great advantage with YouTube that actually works really well for producers or people like me who are creative is the memberships. The way the memberships work is a lot more in depth. So subscriptions on Twitch, it's all, I forget the exact years, $5, $15, $25, I think. And there's not much you can give to your subscribers. You can give them like a special Discord role. That's basically it. And then obviously the advantages, the emojis and all that, and the badges and all that. But on YouTube, you can do a lot of stuff, because YouTube has the community posts, and you can set it so, oh, only this tier of member sees this community post. On top of that, YouTube has very customizable memberships. So you can set the price. You can do like a $1 a month membership. You can do $5. You can do $100 a month. And you can have multiple tiers. So I just did a two-tier one, which I like. I have one for fans and then one for other producers. That's really good for me, because I want everybody to get something out of it. What I did was I did a $5 a month one and an $8 a month one. The $8 a month one is for producers. $5 a month one's for fans. And I can add a lot of benefits to the producer one. I do a few things. One, I occasionally do a stream where I give the producers feedback on their music. And that's super easy to do with YouTube. The way they have memberships set up, super easy to do. I'll give them every month, I'll give them Serum presets. So what I do is I'll make like five interesting sounds with this Serum plugin, and I'll share them with the producer tier. So doing stuff like that for a producer is just cool. And like, I can imagine if you're an artist or something, you want to share like exclusive art or like high resolution art, you want a way to do that well. There's definitely some things I miss from Twitch, but overall, I think YouTube has been better for me.
And have you noticed any difference in the actual support from your viewers, whether they're on Twitch or on YouTube? Because from the outside point of view, people often ask me, why do people subscribe to their favorite streamer? You know, they're trying to understand why you would pay for something when you can just watch it for free anyway. And it seems to be just so embedded in Twitch culture that if you enjoy watching a stream, you support that creator. Do you see that same thing happening over on YouTube?
Yeah. So YouTube, it's definitely a relatively new thing. And what I noticed, it's really hard to say. So my memberships went up on YouTube, but I think that's just because my viewership went up so much. But yeah, the way people talk about it is very different. So on Twitch, it was like, it's definitely more integrated, and people would talk about subscribing more, like, oh, one day I'll subscribe, or like, hey man, wish I could subscribe, blah, blah, blah. Whereas as on YouTube, I have to sell it a lot more. Like, people don't even know it exists until I explain it. I'm like, by the way, guys, check out below. There's a join button if you're interested. If not, no big deal. And then people will look, people will talk about it more. And I do find I have to put more effort into like telling people, hey, there is a membership option if you want to take it. Whereas on Twitch, everybody knew.
You mentioned at the start that you've managed to get some of your work into some popular rhythm-based games like Beat Saber. Has that had any notable impact on your career and on your live stream?
Oh yeah, it's been massive. It changed my life, honestly. Like I can't even describe it. So ever since Beat Saber, my following on Spotify literally tripled. Like, it's been crazy. It was a career changer. And you know, like, this is a point I like to make, especially to musicians, and this probably applies to streamers too, is that the email I sent Beat Saber took only 5 minutes to write. It was such a simple email to write. It took me 5 minutes. I didn't have to think about it that much. But that 5-minute email had such a profound effect on my life, because I had been working so hard on the product I was selling. Like, I'd been working so hard on making music that I thought was so cool and that I was proud of and trying to improve my skills. And because I had focused so much on that, I could just send a 5-minute email that triples my following, like doubles my income, all these benefits. So I always tell people, like, if you want to make it in whatever business you're doing, whether it be art, music, or even streaming, make sure you're selling a damn good product. Like, it has to be really good. So if you can make a stream that you genuinely can look at and say, this is an awesome stream. I am working hard to make it fun. I'm working hard to make it interesting. I'm working hard to do cool stuff that other people aren't doing. If you can genuinely look at your stream and say, I am doing the best I can to make this as fun and awesome as possible for everybody who watches, and then 1 5-minute email can change your life.
I think that's such an important story to tell, because so many people expect things to happen so quickly when they're brand new to any new creative process, whether it's creating music or art or even streaming, and they expect results far too quickly when if you're quite analytical about it, you're probably not that good at streaming yet, and you're constantly comparing yourself to these big names, people that are bringing in thousands of viewers, and you're not at the same level of practice. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey as a producer and as a streamer and how you've managed to put the hours in to get to where you are today?
I mean, I started when I was really young. And when I started, I was completely blind to how bad my music was. I was convinced I was a genius for the first 4 years. And I was 12, you know, I was really young. So it's understandable. But what I did is I practiced a lot, and I did a lot because I was so excited about what I was doing. And I think one of the things people have to learn to do is you have to learn to be excited when you're bad. You have to learn to be excited by what you're doing, even when you're not where you want to be. So in my case, eventually I did realize how bad my music was. And it was very shocking when you have kind of a false ego in your head of how good you are at whatever you do, and you realize you're not as good as you want to be. That can kind of hurt. And if you're relying on those results for your motivation or for your idea of what success is, that'll kill you. Because working for just one hour with that mindset when you're bad at something versus working for 1 hour with the learner mindset is much more energizing. Like, it feels better, and you can work for a lot longer. So what I tell people is, whether you're streaming, making music, whatever you're doing, what you have to do is learn to love the process while acknowledging where you're at. So acknowledge, okay, here's where I'm less good than this popular streamer. Here's how I'm not quite as good at speaking and being entertaining. I'm not quite as good as shifting my focus between the game I'm playing and the chat. Notice all that. And then treat your stream like a practice session. Be like, I'm going to stream for 4 hours or however long I want to stream. And I'm going to do my best to engage in the process and not constantly look at the viewer count, not constantly worry about how bad I am compared to everyone else, but I'm going to enjoy the process of learning, and I'm going to be proud of the process of learning.
And now that you have managed to build up a bit of an audience on these various different platforms, how do you manage to stay relevant? Because I know that's the thing that a lot of different streamers and content creators struggle with, is staying relevant once they have become relevant. So have you got any tips for the audience in terms of that?
For me, staying relevant has been focusing on a few specific points. So find communities where people like your stuff. So for me, that was Geometry Dash community, and now it's the Beat Saber community. Those are the two big ones. Since I have those communities that people now know my name, it's much easier to be active in it, because I can like say hi to another big streamer and who plays Geometry Dash, and they'll know who I am, be like, oh, hey, it's BoomKitty. What's up, man? So having some kind of community like that has been huge. The other thing is, you know, as I said before, so I'll say it one more time to hammer the point, have a damn good product. Like, I have always been focused so much on making my music as good as possible. When people find my music by whatever happenstance, they're more likely to stick around. So that's obvious. As far as streaming, how do I keep stream viewers? Ultimately, what I try to do is just make the streams fun. And I try to engage with everybody. So that way, whoever does happen to show up, whether from the GD community, GD being Geometry Dash and Beat Saber, or whatever else, they just happen to stumble upon it. I try to make it fun and acknowledge everybody, like say their username, making the streams engaging. That's what I do to at least retain viewership.
Which way round is it for you? Are you trying to get people that are interested in your music and then convert them into viewers of your stream so they can see how you create that music? Or are you trying to convert people that are interested in producing and hence watching your stream and convert them into listeners of the BoomKitty music?
Yeah, so I'm definitely not trying to gain more fans from streaming, because, I mean, it's uncomparable how many listeners I get on Spotify and Apple Music compared to how many people come to my streams. It's incomparable. Like, I think 85,000 or so monthly listeners on Spotify, and I get like 100 viewers max on my streams. But streaming is two things. Like, one, there's the income from it, and you know, the memberships and the donations, which I care about. But for me, it's more about how fun it is and how I'm able to be productive while doing it. Because like, I wouldn't stream gaming. Like, I don't think I'm the type of person who could stream gaming, because for me, although I do love gaming, my passion is in music. So what I want to do is combine streaming, which is fun, with something that I would be doing anyway.
Absolutely. I think that's so key, to be streaming something that you enjoy doing anyway. I feel like there's so many streamers out there that are, you know, believing in a certain game, a specific game is going to be what makes them famous. And so they'll stream that to no end, even when it gets to the point that they don't enjoy it anymore. And I think that really the mindset around Twitch communities now is that people are more accepting of streamers wanting to play different games. Yes, your viewership might ebb and flow, have its highs and have its lows, but I think it's important to be able to keep streaming and make sure that you're streaming things that you do enjoy and not worry about the viewership so much. So obviously, as somebody that has had some success in streaming and you've managed to grow your stream to a pretty reasonable size now, what advice would you give to people listening that are still in the beginning and early stages of their growth?
This applies to all streamers, but the other big thing is make sure you're watching your own streams objectively and getting feedback on your streams and taking it to heart. Like, really look at, is this entertaining? And ask yourself, is this entertaining to watch? And if it's not, figure out what you can do to change it. And just be brutally honest with yourself. And definitely ask friends, be like, hey, can you watch like 30 minutes of this stream? Tell me if it was interesting to you. Tell me what I could improve on. That applies to everybody. But definitely with creative types, one of the biggest things, make sure you can make it accessible to everybody to the extent that you can, even people who don't do the craft that you're showing.
Yeah, I think that's some great advice, even for those people that aren't streaming particularly creative things on Twitch or on YouTube. You want to make sure that your stream is accessible to people that haven't seen or heard of you before. So let's dive into that a little bit more, Eric. What are your thoughts on these smaller categories on sites like Twitch or on YouTube, where people are streaming more niche things like creating music or art or technology or recording podcasts and things like that? Do you think they'll ever grow to the point where they compete with the big game titles? I'd love to get your opinion.
I think gaming is always going to be the biggest thing, just because of how accessible it is. Almost everybody plays games now. But the just chatting thing is definitely interesting. That's definitely taking off, and that makes a lot of sense, because maybe that's even more accessible than gaming, because you know, everyone likes a good conversation. So, I do have a feeling gaming will be the biggest, just because it's just fun. People love games. I think the social type streams are probably going to be the second biggest. If they aren't already, they might already be, just because, again, everyone loves a good conversation. Creative streams, I think, will always be on the low end, because the mass appeal is so much smaller. Like, there's so few people who make music, so few people who do art, and doing music and art is very hard to get into compared to something like gaming, which you can just hop in and have fun. So it's a lot harder to have fun with art and creative stuff. So I think those are going to stay pretty small, but compared to gaming and just chatting. But it might grow overall as more people who already produce or already do art start watching these streams and start realizing, oh, there's a market here for me to do my own streams and to like share art with other streamers, and that can expand. But yeah, it's hard to say, but that's my general opinion.
I think for me personally, I think that pretty much every subcategory or anything that has been popular in a VOD format on YouTube will have an audience for live streaming as well. Whether that's on Twitch or on YouTube, it doesn't really matter. But I can imagine even in a couple of years from now, there being just so many live streams of artists recording albums or live shows that you could go to in different countries, where you can watch your favorite band or your favorite DJ performing live, or even like your favorite small town football team or something like that. I just think there's going to be so many opportunities for content that is live streamed, because the real appeal is being able to chat directly with the creator. And I just see there being so much opportunity for a lot of different types of content.
Yeah, I definitely think more people are going to be streaming overall in general, because there's definitely more stuff people can stream that people aren't aware of. And like, I know artists, and I'm like, if you're an artist, you should be streaming, no question. Because for all the reasons I've mentioned. So like, I have friends who draw and they don't stream their art. And I'm like, they really should be, And I could see them realizing that at some point. So I definitely agree. Things are going to grow. And also the whole recording an album thing, like a band doing that and live performance, that could definitely be huge. And as you say that, I'm like, oh man, I really need to, like, whenever I do my Lux live show, I need to stream it. So I'll try to remember that.
Eric, I think this has been a super useful conversation, especially for those people that are just getting into creative streaming, or even for those streamers that are looking to grow to the sort of medium-sized numbers where you have managed to get yourself to. So thank you so much for coming on and talking about your story. If people want to hear more about you or more about Boom Kitty, where can we send them?
Well, thank you so much. If you want to check out my music, I'm on all the major music things. So Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, YouTube are the four biggest. If you want to watch my streams, that's on YouTube, which is the same as where my music is. If I'm also on Twitter at Boom Kitty Music, Instagram at Boom Kitty Music. And the final thing is, if you want to talk to me in over voice, I'm super active on my Discord server, which there are links to on all my social medias, especially YouTube.
Yeah, and we'll definitely be linking all of those platforms as well as anything else that we've talked about in the show notes of this episode. I really hope that you have enjoyed listening to this episode, and thank you so much for all the positive feedback that we've had on the first few episodes of the Gaming Careers podcast. I've really enjoyed doing it, and we've had some great conversations with some amazing people. If you have enjoyed the episode, make sure you're subscribed on wherever it is that you are listening to this podcast. And if that is Apple Podcasts, please do go and give us a 5-star review. That really helps us get discovered by other people looking for this kind of podcast. Thanks again for listening, and I will catch you guys in the next one. Peace.